Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 107.
This week on the podcast, Donald Sterling, Cliven Bundy, and SCOTUS face off to prove that irony isn't dead, and neither is racism.
And Russia just doesn't care.
Oregon hipsters were too blissed out on farm-to-table food last fall to finish their Obamacare exchange website.
And this week on Hillary Pillory, Wall Street realizes that the best GOP candidate for president really is Hillary Clinton.
Florida Georgia Line isn't just an annoying country band, it's also now the world's most inviting murder destination.
And why does Sarah Palin think kumbaya is such a bad thing?
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hi guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com. And you can find me on the web on Huffington Post this week because I have a new essay up.
That's great.
It's great. You can look for it under my name. Just search for Lila Nordstrom.
Did we post on Brain Trust today?
Oh, no, we didn't, but we should.
Why didn't
I? Because I'm an idiot. Because I can't be trusted to post things at appropriate times on places, as I think we've learned. So we will post that for you on Brain Trust. Please click on it so that I look popular, because that's how you win Huffington Post.
That's it.
That's how.
We're a little late this week.
We're a little late this week.
We apologize. It's my fault. It's not my fault.
No.
It's not. It's of the two of us.
It's not my fault.
It's my fault. Right. But it's not actually my fault.
Right. It's the fault of having jobs.
It's my stupid work's fault.
Yeah. Work is the worst.
Worst. Lives would be so much easier if you didn't have to
do
that.
Yeah. It's also Brent's birthday this week.
Yes. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, which is when you'll probably be listening to it, that's the day of my birth.
So Brent is going to be a whole year older by the time you listen to this.
That's right. And then we're going to have some scheduling things that will work out because I'm going to Hawaii because it's my birthday. So, woo-woo. I just did a little raise the roof gesture here too. You couldn't see
But he's also leaving LA where the podcast is.
Right. So that's
makes it hard. We might miss a week. We might come back to you midweek. We'll probably skip
one podcast
and then return on a Wednesday or two, you know, something like that. And then head back into our regularly scheduled programming.
I'll have a lot of Hawaiian stories to regale you with.
Of course.
Yeah.
The great foreign lands of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Should be fascinating.
Yeah.
So all of that's going on, but we have a lot of hilarious stories this week.
This week has been actually sort of like really crazy because we had like a lot of, I loved the sort of like the, just the dichotomy of the stories this week because like we had so many stories about terrible racists who we're going to get to right now during the same week that the Supreme Court decided that we didn't need affirmative action any longer.
It was just sort of like...
It was like the
It was
perfect,
symbolism week.
Like, actually, it totally was. It was. Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Like irony week. It was, all of the words.
It had all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah, had all the words.
The biggest story of the week is Donald Sterling.
I mean, and this is sort of like going like...
Incomprehensibly
right
asshole-ish.
Now. The Clippers are playing right now, actually, too.
Without his presence.
Without his presence, because as of today, he got banned for life.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Because... That's what
Well, oddly happened. Though, because the NBA can't ban him from owning a team for life.
Correct.
They can only ban him from participating in NBA things like going to games and going to owners meetings and that sort of thing. So he's the owner currently of the Clippers.
Right. They can make him give up his ownership like through some sort of like meeting of either like the
but they
other
have
owners
to
or something
meet
like that. But
and
like
3/4 of them have to vote for that to happen.
Right. And the commissioner of the NBA did say today that they were going
to do the meeting
soon. I think they're pushing to do that. But of course it's the playoffs too, so it's not like you just sort of like go and have a meeting with all the important people because like you're having the playoffs.
But like the poor Clippers, because like the way that the draft works. Like, no one, it's not like people are choosing to play on specific teams. I had to learn that this week, which I was not thrilled about having to know. But there's like a sort of controversy about what we're supposed to do to protest Don Sterling.
Right, exactly. Because, like, there were a lot of people, like, after this sort of, like, whole, you know, what happened is obviously you've heard about this, but he was recorded by his girlfriend, basically, who was, you know, and he made, like, a bunch of racial comments and he said that he didn't want her photographed
with black people
and, like, putting pictures with black people on her Instagram and stuff. And she was, like, with Magic Johnson or something.
Also,
like, it was, like, she was, like, Magic Johnson can't come to the clip. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? You own a basketball team, for fuck's sake.
Right?
Like, I mean, hello. But, like, he has a history of this. Like, one of the former players had sued him for racial discrimination at one point, and he didn't win, actually. The case was thrown out, but, like...
But there have been cases that he has lost that have
or
had
that
to do
settled
with
settled on.
That he settled on that had to do with his tenants.
Yes.
Because he's a big
he's
landlord.
A
he's a slumlord in L.A. Yeah. Everybody knows about him. I know people who've had who've been involved in cases against him.
Yeah.
Because someone I used to work with had a fire in their building that, because he's a slumlord, was,
right.
you know, due to negligence, and they sued him. So he's, yeah. in L.A., he's sort of, like, already this notorious figure.
Yeah.
Because he owns, like, every horrible slummy building.
Right.
That there is, except for the one that I used to live in, which is owned by wannabes.
Right. And I think the Clippers, when they played the other day, they did something where they turned their jerseys inside out during warm-ups, and they yeah. all wore, like, black bands.
They're, like, trying to figure out how to protest it, but, right. like...
Well, Doc Rivers, the coach, basically said, he was like, I won't come back next year and yeah. play for him. I heard an interview with him today, and I don't know that he necessarily clarified that, but he was, like, talking about how he was happy with the decision that was made, basically, because they really did sort of everything that they could do yeah. within sort of like the NBA constitution. The guy who was having the press conference like kept referencing the NBA constitution, which was a weird thing for me to hear, but like, you know, like,
well, they find the NBA constitution secret too.
Oh, maybe.
Only I think that only the other owners know what's in the NBA constitution.
Well, and they asked him, somebody asked him what specific you know, like, constitutional violations that he had done or whatever, and his response was like, I'm gonna let the lawyers like talk about sort of like the legal or whatever. So it's like he wasn't even gonna tell him. But like, I think that they did, supposedly this was like the most that they could do, like they yeah. fined him $2.5 million, which is the most that they're sort of like allowed to find. That's chump change
right,
for this guy, so that's not a,
right,
nobody cares about that. But
it's like finding
they,
me 3 cents.
They just like did everything yeah. that they could do.
It's so funny how these things end up blowing up, because Sterling is a racist asshole and has been for years.
Right.
He's known for he's famous for being a racist asshole. Right. A lot of the cases that he has had to settle on as a landlord have had to do with racial discrimination.
Right.
It's not just about him being a slumlord. He also doesn't like to rent his apartments to black people.
Right.
And he has a history of making racist comments that are, you know, about how he, you know, about not only how he doesn't want to rent to black people, but like he doesn't mind renting to Koreans because they pay their rent on, like,
right.
any sort of like stereotyping that you can imagine is has come out of his mouth
yeah.
at some point. So it's sort of like crazy how quickly this all right. unraveled for him.
And
he's been walking around saying stuff like this for 20 years and no one said shit.
Well, right, exactly. And I think that it's so interesting because, like, I mean, obviously he's a terrible person and he's a racist. And I mean, a racist, certainly, there's a lot of jobs that a racist shouldn't have. Owning a basketball team is
definitely one
of those
them.
Things. But, like, it does bring sort of a, you know, leave it to Mark Cuban, who owns the Cavalier, or no, he owns
something
the Dallas,
Texas,
the Mavericks,
yeah,
and he sort of is, you know, like a quasi famous person, but he right. always
he's
also,
on Shark Tank.
He's on Shark Tank. He likes to sort of like be a contrarian a lot of times
yeah.
too. He sort of is loudmouthed, but like, you know, he sort of was saying that it wasn't fair in the sense that, like, can you did he is being a racist something that should like get
right.
you fired from being
the
owner
of
a basketball team when you were saying something that you said that you thought was private to your girlfriend.
Right.
Now, I think that he should just literally, you know, go jump in a well. So
well,
I'm not
that
saying
he should
that.
Resign.
But I think he should resign too, and he should sell the team. But
right.
like, or
it's obviously
do
an
whatever,
asshole.
Step aside. Oh, he's
but like we're
an
talking
asshole,
about
like,
a money making venture. That is
but it
the
is
NBA.
Sort of an interesting
business,
comment
not,
though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, does being a racist,
a
like,
private racist,
preclude you from like owning something? I
right.
guess
from being
I
a millionaire.
Know.
No,
no, it doesn't.
Many a racist has become a millionaire in
True.
America.
Yes,
not all of them for owning sports that are really popular in the African American community.
Right, exactly.
Or owning teams of you know, for sports, but
right.
But
I think that I'm okay with him getting his comeuppance in this way because he deserved it one way or the other. So whether it happened in a way that maybe wasn't fair to him or
right.
not. Like, I mean, he deserved
it's,
it because
it's interesting
he's a terrible
to
human
see
being.
The story unravel from L.A. because even I knew who he was, and I don't know who owns sports teams or care much
yeah,
about
I didn't
sports.
Know. Yeah,
but he was already sort of like known in L.A. for other reasons. And so to watch this story sort of unravel from
yeah.
the perspective of somebody who only knew of him as a landlord and was not aware that he
right.
also owned a sports team.
Yeah.
It's been sort of fascinating.
Right.
I don't know. The whole thing's been sort of interesting.
Well, he's just sort of like a creepy character anyway. Like, even
yeah.
to just see him, like, there's all of these pictures of him sort of, like, sitting courtside, and he's sort of, like, he's always leaned back in his chair, and he's, like, really overweight, and he's always resting his hands on
his... Oh, my
on
God.
His, and he's, like, really yeah. sort of... And he's older, obviously, and this girlfriend that he was, like, spouting all of this stuff off to, meanwhile, is part black.
Right, yeah. Speaking of people that maybe you shouldn't make comments about not being seen
Your
with black
girlfriend.
People, too.
Like,
Like, is he not so also bizarre. Being seen with black people if his girlfriend is black?
It's very the logic was
a mystery.
Yeah.
And also, for social media presences, you know, as far as social media goes, for a basketball team owner, like, it was a curious comment to make in the first place. Because yeah. It doesn't seem like a world in which that would be bad for business.
No, I know.
He doesn't own, like, a Ku Klux Klan supply store.
No.
Like, it's just such a mystery.
I know.
Speaking of horrible racists, though, we've had others this week.
Yeah.
Or not this week. This has been more of a month-long saga.
I was going to say.
And by month-long, I mean 30-year-long saga.
Well, and this is so interesting because, like, I, more than you, sort of love to troll sort of, like, the Republican news sites. And I have been not putting this story on the podcast docket for weeks and weeks because I just really couldn't truly bring myself to care. Yeah. I've been sort of, we're talking about Clive and Bundy here, basically. Yeah. But this has been sort of like the red alerts on Drudge Report for like a long time. And I just was sort of like, this is not a thing that we're going to talk about on this podcast.
It's the ultimate anti-government story is
right,
how
exactly.
it started.
Right, exactly. So basically what is going on or what was going on was the federal government sort of went in because Clive and Bundy, who lives in, where's he live? Nevada,
rancher.
Right? He's a rancher.
Yeah.
And all of his cattle was grazing.
He's in Montana, isn't he?
Maybe. I don't know. All of his cattle were grazing on federal land. And back in the 90s, he stopped paying the grazing fees to the federal government. So
he's been pissed since the 80s when I think this policy
came into play. That's another, Reagan started this policy.
Yeah.
Or at least extended the policy to continue going. What got him pissed in the 90s was because they, like, I think shrunk the size that he could, like, have his cattle graze on because they were trying to save, like, some desert tortoise or something. So he got really pissed with, like, the EPA or whoever it was. Because
the Bureau of Land Management.
Or Bureau of Land Management. Because there was, like, some sort of, like, endangered species thing that he thought was sort of, like, screw that. And so that's when he stopped.
Well, this is, like, a thing
90s.
That, like, Nevada ranchers are, like, up in arms about.
Oh, yeah.
As a group.
Yeah.
It's not just Clive and Bundy who's up to this, but he has been sort of like the kind of rallying cry around which this entire thing has blown out of proportion, because earlier in the month, he had an armed dispute with federal authorities because they were trying to remove his cattle from land that he was not paying.
He owes $1 million in fees over the past
And instead of paying those fees or making a deal, he decided to... He got a militia together, yeah. And so there was this weird standoff that happened in Nevada.
Yeah.
Between Clive and Bundy and federal authorities.
There's pictures.
There's a war.
There are crazy pictures,
Like them doing war stances against federal.
Yes, you see these guys who are just like in street clothes with like sniper rifles who are like aiming into like groups of people where there's like federal agents standing around cattle. It's so weird.
Which is like a wet dream, by the way, for the far right. This is what they've always dreamed of, is standing up for their rights. The federal government overstepping its hand, and then them getting together with their assault rifles and taking them down.
But it's so funny, though, just because, I mean, besides the fact that, like, he's obviously, it just shows some of the confusion of the far right, too.
Yes.
Because, you know, you have this guy who thinks he's the most American person out there because he's really standing up to the federal government, but then you also have him on record and on video as saying he doesn't believe that the United States federal government is a thing that exists.
Yeah.
So there's B-roll of him riding around with an American flag on his horse.
He's not so American that he does not believe that America
exists. Like, that we never started the country.
Right. Didn't.
Right.
Just a free-for-all.
Yes.
Absorb that for a moment, because then it gets weirder.
Right.
Because recently, there's also been footage being, surfacing.
Yes.
Of Clive and Bundy going on racist rants.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it what seems to be a very unrelated fashion, but he's going with it.
Yes.
First, he went on this weird rant where he said that, quote, Negro people
were,
quote, better off as slaves than living, like, on the dole,
on
basically.
The dole. Right, exactly.
But now he's been comparing himself to Rosa Parks because he's been standing up for his rights.
And he also
to graze
said,
on federal
and
land.
He also said at one point that if black people were offended by his initial comments, then it was because Martin Luther King Jr. hadn't done his job.
Right.
So, like, he's really been doubled, tripled, and quadrupled down on this.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't
he's
sort
not
of
sorry.
No, he's not sorry. My favorite part of this whole story was that he had been like besties with Sean Hannity during this whole thing. He was on Hannity every single night. like during this whole thing, and then a Hannity blackout as soon as the race comments came out. It was like Fox News forgot the last month of reporting they've been doing on the whole thing. And in a turn of events that really, really made me happy, the morning after this all came out, do you know where he was being interviewed?
Where?
CNN. Bless their hearts. CNN, not one to shy away from something salacious like this. But I was glad that they sort of
stepped in.
Because, like, Fox, he was no longer welcome at Fox News.
They get themselves into this kind of trouble a lot.
Well, and that's the thing. And even Bill O'Reilly said this, too. But, like, I think if there's a big takeaway, besides the fact that Nevada ranchers are probably racist.
Right.
The takeaway is that you really have to watch who you sort of, like, hitch your wagon to.
Yeah.
And because,
especially
and
the far
same,
right.
Especially on the far right. But even on the, well, far, the far left, left too. You don't know whether you're going to, you know, the far left, you hitch on to somebody who you find out, you know, was an eco-terrorist in the 80s.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just, you don't know, like, when you're dealing with fringe people. Like, and this is what happens.
Well, and this
is what
happens, especially when what is not a mainstream news source, but is sort of considered a mainstream news source by many, hitches their wagon to a fringe group. Because, like, there's no equivalent fringe on the left
that's
on major
television
cable news
they don't
at the
moment. Right, exactly.
Current TV is gone. You know, we don't have anyone else.
Yeah.
MSNBC is barely reporting the news. They're reporting mostly on, like, muffin fat content and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And CNN is only reporting on boats sinking. Uh-huh. So they don't have anything else going on.
Yeah. If it's not happening on some sort of, like, maritime location, then CNN's out.
CNN's not interested. Right. But so this is what happens when one of the only news sources that's seeking some sort of news is reporting from the fringe.
Yeah, I know.
They get themselves in trouble because it turns out people on the fringe right are
racist
idiots.
Right.
That's a problem that you have to expect. You have to see that coming.
I was going to say, it's not a. It should have come as no surprise to Sean Hannity that
this a man
came
that was willing to have
day.
An armed showdown with the federal government also turned out to be a racist. Just not super surprising.
Nope.
It's interesting, though, that all of this happened on the same week as the Supreme Court ruled...
Declared that racism was over.
Yeah. The Supreme Court ruled on... there was a case having to do with Michigan's ban on affirmative action. The Michigan university system is not allowed to consider race when, you know, for their admissions process.
Yeah.
And it's sort of couched in this language that makes it sound like a really open-minded policy. But in fact, it was just a way for them to outlaw affirmative action.
Right.
Which many people who have been to college, especially good colleges where it's expensive to go, know that affirmative action is sort of necessary. It helps because those are not the most diverse environments. And Michigan has a very high-profile state university system.
Yes.
And it has a very expensive state university system, not necessarily for state residents, but a lot of people come from out of state to go to the Michigan state schools.
Yeah.
So this is sort of an important policy.
Yeah.
This is an important policy point. So the Supreme Court upheld their ban on it, 6-2.
6-2,
which is crazy. There are other states that, by the way, have outlawed affirmative action. There's 8 other states. I think California is one of them. Sotomayor was not happy.
She won the argument basically.
Yeah.
Basically, she just called them racist.
Yeah.
Which is perfect.
Yeah, which that's
might be
what
accurate.
Happened. Yeah. Uh-huh. They haven't been super consistent on the issue because they have ruled on cases that have sort of asserted that affirmative action is can exist in certain circumstances or is necessary in certain circumstances. There was a case in June that they ruled on that had to do with Texas admissions, where they ruled that they could have tighter scrutiny of the admissions process as it pertained to race, but they didn't outlaw affirmative action in that case. But yeah, Sotomayor like won the internet because she wrote like a scathing dissent of this case. It was correct in its view of how racism is not over.
Yeah.
But it definitely sort of dominated the news cycle.
Well, and that's what I just like. To me, it has always been like, if one person doesn't get into a college, in all of the hundreds of thousands and of millions of people who apply to college every year because affirmative action doesn't exist, then you need it.
Yeah.
That's enough. Do you know what I mean? Well, like, it doesn't... It's not because... Sure, I mean, are we maybe in a better place racially than we were when we started the affirmative action? Yes, but, like, you can't... you just can't end this.
Well, as long as they can prove
that... Even if one person is hurt by this, that's too many.
If they can't, if they can still prove that there is a major economic disparity between different races, that there are major disparities in terms of what kinds of primary and secondary education people of different races can expect and how well they can expect to do on tests based on how prepared they are and based on their circumstances, then you have assigned, you know, there's the argument for this program in those numbers. Yeah. Those numbers still exist. We haven't come to a place where everyone's like, everyone gets a good, the same education and has the same advantages. Like, that's not how it works at all.
No.
You know? So, there's like, the numbers to prove that this policy is necessary. It's sort of like, I mean, it gets crazy. People claiming reverse racism, which is really what the anger about affirmative action is based on, has always been just like a really tacky thing to do. You shouldn't do it. Reverse racism is not a problem that you're facing right now. I'm here to tell you that that's not a thing that's going on. And there's plenty of ways that I think we can all sort of... I mean, there is sort of like this movement within the left to kind of like accept your white privilege and sort of like understand what that is. Because everyone is at... Because this has sort of become the dominant argument. You know, it's suddenly very fashionable to be against affirmative action, which is like a crazy idea to me because like it's... I think clear to anyone who like lives in the world why it would be a necessary policy.
Right.
But that's it's part of the sort of like discourse on the left now has had to sort of be like embracing how it's okay to talk about white privilege now because we have to sort of like combat this it's just like exhausting. Like everyone just needs to not be idiots anymore. They're not succeeding.
God.
Speaking of idiots. Vladimir Putin is just out there being one.
Yeah.
We're doing a third round of sanctions.
Yes.
As of today. We're sanctioning, like, a bunch of more individuals more people, and companies.
More companies.
We haven't gotten to the point where we're sanctioning entire sectors of the Russian economy. Yeah. They claim that's next, but they're being really trigger shy when it comes to those. I think because those will actually, like, affect our economy. They're, like, not trying to get involved in affecting our economy.
Right, the world economy. Right, yeah, exactly.
They're
yeah.
targeting, you know, they're targeting figures that are sort of, like, industry giants in Russia, but are kind of on the inside of the Russian government. Two in particular are chairman of like giant state-owned companies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're kind of like going after people like that who are like essentially like kind of Putin's peanut gallery.
Yeah.
But it's like exhausting.
It is. Although, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes down. I mean, it doesn't appear as though there is a real good end in sight here.
No.
Because they are not following through with the deal that they were supposed to.
Well, who thought they were going to follow through with the deal?
Right.
I mean, they're useless.
I know.
Like, that's... And they obviously have an agenda here that they're not going to be... Their agenda is to be antagonistic already. So, like, there's no reason for them to be like, oh, sorry, we didn't realize we were offending you.
That's, right.
Sorry, America. Like, their whole point is to show their might and show to Europe, like, aha, we're going to reform the Soviet Union, basically, right in front of your faces. On an unrelated but related note, did I mention yet on the podcast how the French spell Putin poutine?
I don't think that you did. You mentioned it to me.
Yeah, I mentioned it to everybody in person that I saw the day that I learned that.
Yeah.
So, and this makes sense because his name is in the Cyrillic alphabet, so there's not, like, a set way to spell it in Roman letters. But Putin, as it a word that is very close to the way that we spell his name, but has some accents and things.
Right.
Is sort of, I think it means like whore or something like that, or bitch or something. In French, it's a curse in French.
Nice.
It's like an insult. So they had to make his name Poutine, which is the name of the Canadian French fry, cheese curd, and gravy combo.
Delicious combo.
That Canadians would never eat, probably, love, but you? I would not be eating. No, I'm not trying to put gravy and cheese curd on my French fries. It's crazy. But so in any case...
Yeah.
It's hilarious if you don't speak French but are reading the French newspaper, as I've been doing.
Yes.
Because it looks a lot like they're spending a lot of time devoted to talking about French fries and gravy. Just saying. In other news. Domestic news, even.
Yes.
Oregon, which was touted as one of the early successes of the state healthcare exchange program.
Never got it going.
And is now... never will, because it's getting
rid of it. They were one of the states that was really supposedly, like... gonna go for it. They had those really fun, like, kitschy ads when they with the people singing at the singing, like, all the hipsters, like, and then they had, you know, they had the issue where the website didn't work.
It's a surprising one that no one else has had.
Right, exactly. And theirs never got a... No. Unlike healthcare.gov, theirs never got around to working.
No, no.
didn't
so they're
get
going
there.
To rejoin the federal exchange.
Yes, they're dropping their own exchange.
Well, their initial success was, and we were super excited about this when it happened, they were the state that published the first, that had the first insurance companies asking to lower their rates because of the numbers they saw in the exchange.
Right. Yes, that's right.
That was what was so exciting about Oregon. And that was the most exciting thing that ever happened to the Oregon exchange, because after that, nothing happened.
Right.
There are some questions up in the air about what they're going to do about the people who did successfully sign up for the exchange, and what happens to the funding that we paid to the state to maintain their own exchange, because now they will not have one.
Right.
Although, I think ultimately it's better for everyone if the exchanges are all federal. I don't think that the state exchange system... I know it's worked great in California, but California is the size of a large country.
It's a country.
So that's why it's worked so well for California. I think it's probably smarter for smaller states to want to be on the federal exchange, because it will sort of give them a larger pool, you know, to kind of base the rates on.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, do you want to be on the New York City exchange when the premiums are still twice as high as they are everywhere else in the nation? Like, no. I would much rather be on the Mississippi, you know, in Mississippi on the federal exchange and paying $0 for health insurance, because it's so freaking cheap, because, you know, they're on an exchange where only poor states are, you know, being represented. But in any case, so this is sad news in some respect. It's not kind of a sign that Obamacare in general is not working. It's a sign that Oregon shouldn't be trusted with a website project.
Apparently.
But
God, I would have thought that up there... Pacific
Thank
Northwest, right?
Thank God we have Silicon Valley.
I know.
Can you imagine what would have happened to California if we didn't have the entire
the
internet
North-
located
but,
here?
But the Pacific Northwest has a lot of the internet located
up
there, though,
it's
too.
It's a mystery what they were up to.
Right? I mean...
It's...
They're not that far from Seattle. That's like the next best place behind Silicon Valley to be having something like this.
But maybe they're just... I mean, maybe Washington just doesn't...
Maybe they're just all walking around stoned and being hipstery.
Well, I think that's what they're doing. They're eating good food. They're having a nice life. They don't need to be dealing with websites. That's so technical.
Yeah.
So it puts you in a box. It's the last thing that you want.
Yeah.
But in a sort of other, a more exciting Obamacare story.
Yeah.
There was a weird moment this week where Kathy McMorris Rodgers, who is running again for office, because she's like a person who's doing that.
Well, she's in the House, so she has to.
She's in the House, right? But so she was at the Eastern Washington. She's from Eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. She was at the. We don't know. We don't know where she was at. She was talking to someone on the campaign trail.
Right. Yes.
Was talking about Obamacare. She's, the chair of the House Republican Conference and someone who has voted to repeal Obamacare like 1 trillion
times. Yeah.
And out on the campaign trail, she basically admitted that she has accepted that Obamacare is here to stay.
Well, she was the one who did the Republican response to the State of the Union.
Right.
And sort of, like, talked about how great and wonderful the Republican, how they were going to overturn Obamacare, and how great and wonderful the Republican bill to replace it was going to be, but gave no
indication as to what that might include.
What that plan was. And so now it seems like she's realized that they don't have a plan.
Right.
She's realized that there's too many people that are on it.
Yes.
And that she can't do anything about it. So that's great.
No, so now she's like, oh, we're going to look at reforming the policy that exists already.
Well, you know what? Like,
it's not perfect, so
I was going to say, I don't trust her to do it, or the GOP in the House in general. But that is the point. I mean, Obama has been saying this since the thing passed in 2008 or 9 or whenever it passed, that it's going to have to... We still make changes to Medicare and Medicaid, and we invented those in the... When? The 60s, right? I think, or something?
I don't know.
Was Medicare part of the whole 60s LBJ thing?
I think
that one? Yeah. I could be totally wrong.
But
we're still... The point is, we're making changes to that 60 years later.
This has been a story where we've offered you no correct facts so
right,
far.
Exactly.
Saying, we've only asked
it's
questions.
It's not perfect.
No.
So if the Republicans want to get up to, like, changing it for the better, God bless them for trying.
No, I mean It's real generous of them to want to work within a policy they invented to make it. Like this is partially infuriating because it's so disingenuous.
They should have a lot of good ideas on how to fix this
because they came up with the policy in the first place. Exactly. Yeah. Like, to have them be like, oh, okay, we've accepted that our own policy is in place. Like, go fuck yourselves. Come on.
Yeah, it's true.
She also was, like, talking about how she thinks immigration reform can be done, which is, like...
Yeah.
Who is she trying to sell on her candidacy at this moment?
Right. Is she trying to lose her primary? Is she trying to lose? Is that what's happening right
it's
now?
It's so confusing. Like, I mean, what? Who is voting for her?
I don't know.
In Washington.
Washington, I know.
Like, not people that are...
I don't know.
Trying to care about any of this. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Who knows?
Nobody does. It's Washington. And outside of Seattle, I have no idea what goes on there. But no. This has been an interesting turn of events because it shows that there are Republicans who, now that they're on the campaign trail, have realized that, A, people like Obamacare. They can't just act like they're going to get rid of it with no plan.
Well, I think what they're starting to see, and this is sort of, like, interesting because, like, people... Obamacare, sort of like as a whole policy, still polls really low. But what also polls really low is overturning Obamacare.
Correct.
So it's you don't win by going out there and touting that you're going to, you know, vote for the 700th time to get rid of it. Like, that's not a winning strategy either, because, like, people don't want to do that either. So if they don't want to, if they don't like it and they don't want to get rid of it, the winning strategy is to fix it.
Exactly.
Which
I think
maybe
we're going to see this a
maybe
lot
she's not
more,
as dumb as we think she is.
I think we're going to see this a lot more as the sort of, like, election season kicks into gear. Because
I do too.
I just don't think it's feasible for every Republican to go back to their district and be like, sorry that we gave you guys health care. We're going to try to do everything we can to stop it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not... People aren't going to be like, aha, finally, someone's getting rid of my health care. Like, that's... Now that it's in place, they're going to have to figure out a way to work with it, because people are going to be
into the idea. I think they always knew this.
Yeah.
Which is why
they were so desperate to get rid of it before anyone could actually buy it.
And why they were so desperate to get rid of it before, I think, the last presidential election, too. Because I think that they sort of always
knew
once it got going, it was like any social program is hard to get rid of. Like, you can't get rid of things once you've given them to people.
Exactly. People like things. Right. They like having stuff.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In other weird house news...
I know.
Michael Grimm. It's like...
God, this guy.
He's a New York representative.
Yeah.
And he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole. He's sort of handsome.
Sort of a handsome asshole.
I had to put that out there. I couldn't...
Was indicted today/yesterday, when you're listening to this, on, like, 20 counts, because he apparently... It's, like, sort of... confusing what happened. He owned this restaurant, right? And he was, like, paying people under the table, including undocumented people.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he owned it between, like, 2006 and 2010, because he used to work for the FBI. He left the FBI and went to the restaurant business.
Weird.
And then ran for the house and left the restaurant business. But in that time, he was running this restaurant where he, like all restaurants in New York, was employing undocumented people.
Right.
And then paying them in cash.
Yeah.
And then...
And skimming money off the top. Right.
But part of the claims that he was skimming money relate to the fact that he wasn't paying taxes on some of his employees because they were undocumented.
Sure.
And then part of it is unclear, and he maybe was just sort of, like, scamming everybody.
Yeah.
It's the skimming money off the top thing is more that he was, like, not paying taxes.
But there were also, like, a lot of
profits
I mean,
that he made in the restaurant.
But there were some other, like, you know, there was mail and wire fraud.
Yeah.
There was healthcare fraud.
The U.S. attorney came out with this case.
Yeah.
That includes everything.
Right.
Anything that you could break the law doing.
Filing false taxes, we said that already. Perjury and obstruction. Like everything.
All the things. Yeah. So he's now got this, like, monster case against him.
Right.
Which, first of all, his restaurant was called Healthalicious, which is gross.
So dumb.
Second of all, it's not clear to me or anyone who's read an article about this whether the $1 million is just in, like, cash, sort of, like, non-tax payments, or whether he was also involved in some other fraudulent activity.
Yeah.
Because the case is so, like, the U.S. attorney's case is so broad that it's, like, hard to know what actually happened,
right.
I feel like.
Well, and it's also so funny, too, because he had, like, this 9-minute press conference, like, after, like, these charges came out, where he said that, that he was the victim of a vendetta and a political witch hunt by his opponents.
Who
which
are
is
they?
Sort of like, who are those people? Like, the U.S. attorney doesn't have an out for Michael Grimm.
He's like a literal nobody.
It's not like the vast right-wing conspiracy to take down Hillary Clinton. What's happening here with Michael Grimm.
No.
Like, that just doesn't exist.
He's
I don't
like
know if it existed then either, but I mean, like, this
that nobody
is
interested in knowing about.
No.
Who... got caught up in an ugly political scandal because he was not a responsible restaurant owner between his time as an FBI agent and his
time
in
the
Congress.
Like, sorry, buddy, you fucked it up.
Right.
Like,
it's such a weird story. It's just, Everything about that story has been weird, but it's also sort of hilarious because he's been doing a lot of posing at his press conferences. Yeah. So it's been a visually hilarious story.
Oh.
It's time for
Hillary Pillory. Hillary
Pillory. Oh, God. So this is a great story. This was in Politico this week, and I saw it and immediately thought to myself, well, duh.
Right, yeah.
But so basically what the story is was sort of like talking about like how all of the Wall Street insiders are basically like secretly in Hillary's camp right now.
Because unless Jeb Bush runs, everyone else that could possibly run is a lunatic.
Yep. And she
to summarize it. I mean,
right. And they know that she's a giant corporatist.
Right.
And
they have Wall Street has nothing to fear under a Hillary Clinton presidency.
None, not a damn thing.
And they're well aware.
Yeah.
So as they await Jeb Bush's verdict, which they would prefer if Jeb Bush would run because it would make them look less silly.
Right.
But that's really the only reason, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they know that Chris Christie is not going to overcome Bridgegate.
No.
I mean, anyone who has a brain knows that.
Yeah.
They don't think Paul Ryan is going to run. I think he's going to stay in the House.
Hmm. Interesting.
And like Marco Rubio
Scott
Walker and like John Kasich, they're all...
If you're a Wall Street person, you can't be getting...
You can't be getting involved in that.
Talk about people that you don't want to hitch your wagon to.
No, exactly. Like,
those
people. Those are some loonies.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Rand Pauls and the, you know, Ted Cruz's are like actual loonies.
Right.
And they're actual crazy
and
people.
You don't know what they're going to do with
that they're going to be pro-Wall Street.
No.
No, you don't know what they're going to do.
No.
It's literally impossible to know. So, when you're left with no one but...
A Wall Street insider herself.
And then a bunch of loonies. That's where you go.
There you go.
So, Democrats, we might really have something to fear because the right might coalesce around Hillary Clinton.
I know.
Themselves.
Right. Well, you and I have been saying this forever. But
yeah, she's the right's choice for a Democratic president.
Well, I know. And this is just another example of why, yet again, I become ever more convinced that I just don't know that she gets out of a primary.
No.
Against someone.
She'll have the money.
She'll certainly, yes, she'll have the money.
She'll have the money, but I just don't... How do you get excited about someone who is being propped up by only corporate insiders?
There's no appetite for this on the left
Now. This is not at all.
No.
This is the opposite. There's the appetite for the opposite of this.
Right, exactly.
The literal opposite.
Yeah.
Like, this is... I mean, you know, we talk about this all the time. We've made this clear that we feel this way, but this is, like, the problem with having too long of a history in the Democratic Party. Everyone is corrupt in the Democratic Party, just as everyone on the right is corrupt. I mean, everyone in Washington plays the game to some degree.
Sure.
We get that. Everyone needs money to get out of their own primaries and get out of their own races. We get that, too. But, like, if you have this long of a history of being, like, at that level of politics, you don't have a history that allows you to associate with regular people anymore. You've, like, lost your ability to do that.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
In any case, in other news of people who
sadness
may or may not be running for office,
we'll miss you,
yes.
Representative Vance McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kissing congressman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if we talked about the scandal.
No, I don't think we talked about the scandal.
I don't know how.
I remember reading about it.
Yeah,
I do too. I don't think we mentioned it.
But anyway, he was recently caught on a video kissing a female aide, and he is
married with five children.
He's not going to be running for re-election this year.
No, just decided to call it a day.
We've seen the last of Vance McAllister. until not, though, because the Republicans love a good comeback story.
Oh, yeah. No,
he could. I mean, Mark Sanford is currently in the House right
now. Exactly.
So
I was going to say, he'll probably be in the Senate by the time we're... He'll be the majority leader of the Senate at some point, and we'll be like, oh, remember when Vance McAllister was in the House and quit and then came back strong?
Right. Uh-huh.
Republicans will be like, he learned his lesson. He's a good Christian.
I was going to say, he asked for forgiveness from his Lord and
Savior,
Jesus Christ.
As long as you ask for forgiveness, it's fine to do anything.
That's it.
But at the current moment, things aren't looking good, mostly because he has, like, no funds in his campaign coffers. He only had, like, $8,000 in hand in the last month, so... It's not looking like he has the resources to launch a comeback at the moment.
Yeah.
But the other interesting thing about him is that he basically won because someone from Duck Dynasty endorsed him in the first place.
Duck Dynasty guy's going to have to...
Willie Robertson. Gonna
throw the support behind somebody else.
Some other lunatic.
There's another example of, like, a person that you sort of, like... You know, you have to have the foresight to know that the people from Duck Dynasty are going to be getting themselves into. Because remember, didn't they have some sort of like race thing? Didn't they say something? Or
yeah.
Was it against gays? I can't remember. No, it was race, right? Wasn't it?
I think it was against gays. I don't know.
I can't. No, it was gays. I think it was gays. Wasn't it? Right?
It was gays.
You just sort of like, you have to know. You can't be seen with the Duck Dynasty people.
Well, he doesn't care about being seen against people who hate gays. Seeing people who hate gays.
Probably not. People from Louisiana don't care about that.
You know, he should be careful about adultery haters because that's something that he's up to. But gay haters is like, he doesn't care.
You know,
it's not worrying. Probably bought him some votes.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is a good one. If you're trying to not die of gun violence.
Well, first of all, don't go to Florida.
Don't go to Florida.
But when once you're in Florida and you're looking for states to leave to.
You don't go to Georgia.
Don't
it's
go
close
to Georgia.
By.
Yeah.
You might be inclined to go there.
It's
Atlanta
too close.
Is there. It might be lovely. Well, I don't know.
They're getting into very dangerous territory down in that area.
You can't go there.
Don't go to Georgia because it is now legal to carry a gun.
All places.
All places.
Everywhere.
In a school.
School.
Church. They don't care.
Bars.
Bars.
Drinking
bars.
And guns. It's a genius plan.
Yeah. No.
That's everybody's having. They're going to be having duels, but like standoffs. Like they used to have like in the old saloons, basically. Mm-hmm. Like.
Yeah. That's what they're aiming for.
That's what they want.
That was their goal in the first place.
Everybody's really excited about this plan they have going
on.
I read this
story, and because this is such an absurd concept, I immediately thought of backwater Georgia towns that have like seven people where everyone has a vendetta and is going to shoot each other dead like immediately.
Yeah.
I had forgotten, as I was reading these stories, that one of the biggest cities in the country is also in Georgia. And that Atlanta is now a city in Georgia that has guns legal just in any place. All places.
Do you know that, what's his name, voted for this, too? Who's running for governor? Oh, Jimmy Carter's grandson.
Oh, yeah.
Voted for this. Some Democrats voted for this.
Yeah, no, it's...
It's just like a... I think it's a South...
It's a South thing. Yeah, Southerners love shooting people, obviously. That's all that I can come up with. I don't know.
What else
do you do with guns?
Why else do you need
You don't need guns if you're not... No.
You don't have to protect yourself at church.
No.
You shouldn't have to.
You shouldn't have to.
And if you do have to protect yourself, you're protecting yourself from someone who is legally there with a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that's the only reason that you would...
Exactly.
...need it is if everyone there had one.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
It's like...
But if you're not allowed to have one there, then nobody has to worry about getting shot there.
They're literally going to allow school districts to determine whether or not teachers and other people working in schools can carry guns.
Yeah, just let them.
Anyone.
Kids.
Why not?
Whatever.
Well, once your teacher has a gun, you might need one too, because you don't know what your teacher could go crazy.
Yeah.
Then the kids need guns to protect themselves from the tyranny of the state, which is the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's anyone at that point needs a gun.
Yeah.
That's it. Once it's legal for one crazy person to carry a gun, that's when it starts seeming logical for every person to carry a gun, and that's when you know you got to stop. Like, one crazy person carrying a gun is a problem to be taken care of.
Right.
It's not a policy to... It's not something to base a policy on.
Yeah. And the circumstances that sort of led to this are also
wacky,
very suspect. Too. Because apparently, like, how this sort of, like, all came to pass is that, like, a year ago, around... about exactly a year ago, there was this man in Sewanee, Georgia, who he faked a heart attack, and he took five county firefighters hostage at gunpoint in his house, and then knowing that the emergency responders wouldn't be armed, firemen wouldn't be armed, and so then like the SWAT team came and rescued them 4 hours later, but he killed,
SWAT team had to come in and kill him to rescue them,
yeah. Right, exactly.
So it was like this weird thing. Where basically everyone lost their shit because the
firemen didn't have guns. Right, exactly.
Which was like, and that's how everyone got behind a bill that allowed anyone to carry a gun anywhere.
Like, could we just have given first responders guns or something?
Also removed a restriction that prevented people convicted of certain misdemeanors that would otherwise preclude you from getting a gun. It made that obsolete. So now people who've committed crimes can also just freely go about getting guns.
Perfect.
Like, just any idiot in Georgia can currently be carrying a gun.
Yeah, and giving them away.
And then they can just walk to Florida and shoot you. Yeah. I mean, at that point, it's lawless over there.
Oh,
once everyone has the ability to give and take life, you don't have... There's no laws anymore. Nope. Nothing makes sense. It's crazy.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, boy. Sarah Palin.
Other crazy topics.
Oh, God. This is a good one. Yeah. I mean, you know, here's what I'll say about Sarah Palin. She's one of the world's worst humans. But she oftentimes says things that are just so perfect.
I know.
She's really... She's a wordsmith.
She's a wordsmith.
She's a... She's a poet.
Yes.
If you will.
She was at an NRA rally.
Mm, sure.
Where you would find her. Uh-huh. The Stand and Fight rally at the Lucas Oil Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Her sort of big headline comment was that if she were in charge, waterboarding would be how we'd baptize terrorists.
Ah, yes. See what she did there?
Aha. Clever. She also warned the pro-gun lobby that she was speaking to that intolerant anti-freedom leftist liberals and, this is my favorite part, clownish kumbaya humming fairy tale inhaling Democrats, that's us, are seeking to strip away their Second Amendment rights.
Yes.
Felt like this was one of the more accurate descriptions of the left that she has given.
I like
far.
That.
A clownish kumbaya hunting fairy tale inhaling Democrat?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's me.
Yeah, that's it. We did it.
I want to get a t-shirt made up.
Yeah, I know. I know. So that was one of her better wordsmith moments. But in light of some of the bonkersness going on in Atlanta, she made some interesting comments. Also in light of every school shooting that's happened in American history, which has been every day basically. She called having gun-free school zones stupid on steroids.
God.
Maybe our kids could be defended against criminals on the spot if more Mama Grizzlies carried guns.
If more Mama Grizzly carried guns,
my God.
Then she would be dead because
I know
they would have killed her.
Yeah, with their guns.
With their guns.
That she wanted them so badly to have.
I was talking about actual grizzlies.
Yeah.
Yes, but that too. They might have. Any of the
all of our points work in this circumstance.
Yes, they all work. I was trying to make a joke that fell flat, apparently.
No, it was a good joke if only I had gotten it. then she also went on to talk about how getting rid of prayer in schools is terrible and kids are cursing because they're not praying or something like that. So she went on her usual tangent. But I kind of, I like the description of kumbaya hunting fairy tale and healing.
I always love it when the right sort of like makes fun of, you know, me in a way that is just sort of like,
perfect.
Yep, I'll take that.
Yep.
Yeah. There was this, my crazy aunt posted something on, Facebook that was it was like a fake sign at the border and it said border crossing here. And then it said, and then it says free healthcare, free housing, free. And like goes on this like whole list of things that like Hispanics crossing the border are going to get for free if they cross the border. I liked it.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah, that's
obviously,
it.
That's it.
Done.
Right.
Like, that's what we're selling.
Mm, yeah. Right, if only it were true what we were selling.
I know.
I'd be even more into it.
I know.
Where is our free housing?
But I was just
my
sort
housing
of like,
is really too expensive.
You realize that you just posted all of those things as if they were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right, as if we hate education and housing and healthcare.
I know.
As if we should all be against that.
I know.
We want to make sure nobody gets those.
Yeah.
Especially not
brown people.
It's like a lot of things bring me back to the movie Jesus Camp, but this is one of them. Jesus Camp was a funny movie because I saw it, because it was a funny movie. I saw it at a theater in the East Village in New York, and it played like a comedy.
Yep.
And then I read later in the paper that the families that were in it thought it was a very accurate description of depiction of their lives. And that's sort of like what this is. Like, Sarah Palin doesn't realize that those are all things that the left is totally willing to cop to and sort of likes about themselves.
Yeah.
So they're not really insults.
Right.
And in the same way that I feel like a lot of the things that we say about the right probably fall on deaf ears because they're like, we want to be able to carry guns everywhere.
Yeah, when we call them gun nuts, they're
exactly. Like, things that seem like an innate part of their, you know, sort of culture are things that we think are ridiculous just on their face, and so we use them as insults when in fact they're not insults if you're on the right already.
Yeah.
So it's always sort of funny when I feel like Sarah Palin especially sort of like does this a lot, where she'll say things that the right thinks is hilarious because kumbaya humming makes them chuckle to themselves.
Sing that before bed tonight.
I mean, grew up singing kumbaya in circles.
Of course.
I'm not against it.
No.
Sing that anytime.
Yeah.
It's a good song for calming everyone the fuck down.
That's right.
Which they will need in Georgia.
when they're all shooting each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of other people that hate people, though.
God. This is a good one.
The Family Foundation of Virginia.
Yeah.
Has decided to plan an anti-gay fast.
Yes.
A 40-day fast. They're going to die to prevent gay marriage.
That's it. Good.
Good. That's the right policy.
Bye.
Right.
CNEVs, as they say.
Virginia has a particularly contentious gay marriage ban.
Yes.
That the Family Foundation of Virginia is super unsupportive.
Yeah.
But so they posted on their website that they're going to do a 40 days of prayer, fasting, and repentance for marriage from August 27th to October 5th.
Yeah.
So really planning ahead. Time to fatten up before the fast, I guess. I don't know. This is after a Utah man said he was going to go on a hunger strike until the state nullifies its decision to allow same-sex marriages.
Right.
And then, on April 1st, he moved to Russia, where he says he'll, quote, be able to live away from the unstable people within the gay movement. Can we send these Virginian people to Russia, too? Can we send...
Yes, please.
Like, everyone to Russia? I mean...
Yeah.
We know that Russia is not about to be allowing gay marriage, so they're safe there. They can eat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know the food's not very good in Russia.
I bet you can probably go around shooting people there.
I would imagine. I mean...
Right?
If there's anywhere that I would guess you could do that.
Yeah.
What else are they doing?
Yeah.
This is a country from which... And we live in a heavily Russian neighborhood.
Yes.
I have witnessed fist fights between old ladies on the city buses here. I mean...
Yeah.
They're tough.
Well, Russians are
tough.
Right.
That's
okay.
Well, I was having a conversation with someone the other day about whether... Because if you live where we live, it often feels like Russians aren't very nice.
Right.
But every time I've ever been to, like, a Russian family's home, they've been, like, very gracious.
Sure.
So I was sort of wondering if it's in the same way that, like, you know, people from, like, the Midwest or from the South come to New York and they're like, everyone was moving so fast and they were so rude and they didn't want to answer my questions. And it's just, like, in New York, like, no one's trying to have time
right.
to be, like, talking to someone who's talking too slow.
Yeah, it could be.
And I feel like maybe Russians, just the sort of, like, accepted understanding of how you're supposed to act involves being what we would consider rude.
Short. Right, yeah.
Yeah. That's my new idea.
All right.
But I don't know if it's true because fist fights on the bus, that's crazy, people.
Hard to know.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the world's about to spiral into crisis.
Oh, my God. This is a terrifying story.
Fistfights might be breaking out on city buses near and far.
Yeah.
If this
because in final news, there's about to be a coffee apocalypse.
Yeah.
Because a drought in Brazil, droughts everywhere,
yeah.
apparently.
It's happening.
Is, like, Starbucks is, like, starting to, they've had to hold off some of their orders, basically, yeah. because, like,
Starbucks
Brazil
is
not producing
run
the
out
amount
of
exactly, that's it. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And I can have coffee tomorrow. No.
Brazil has seen coffee bean prices rise to new heights
yeah.
already. But because of this drought,
yeah.
things have gotten out of control.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the crop was lost.
Yeah.
The harvest is expected to fall short by like 11 million bags.
That's too many.
It's a lot of bags. It's a lot of coffee.
I'd probably drink that many.
And...
on a
coffee futures, which is a thing that people are investing in,
yeah.
have gone up considerably. So everyone thinks the world's running out of coffee.
Yeah.
Reached
peak coffee.
We've reached peak coffee, much like peak beer.
Peak beer, yeah.
Starbucks purchases most of their stock from Brazil and is having to hold off on some of their orders.
Yeah.
And so people are expecting that either Starbucks is going to run out of coffee or prices will have to go up, which... is insane because it's already
coffee's
so freaking expensive at Starbucks.
Yeah.
So that could be a real disaster. At a certain point, do we just stop? Like, can we? Here's two questions. This is really a multi-part problem.
Okay.
At a certain point, can something like a similar chain that serves cheap, like, can Dunkin' Donuts come to the West Coast so we can stop going
it's
to Starbucks?
Coming.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Problem solved. Did
yeah.
that. Okay. Second. Is there, like, a world in which we can all go back to just drinking deli coffee?
No. There's not. At all. But you know what I was going to suggest?
Yes.
Is that we start drinking chicory coffee.
Oh, interesting.
Because I actually quite like that.
Yeah, people
you get
like
that.
That.
Yeah.
You get that in Café
New Orleans.
Du Monde.
Café Du Monde. Yes.
And you can buy that at most supermarkets now. They sell that everywhere.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. I think
oh,
you can
God.
Buy it at Ralph's here or something.
Is it, like,
I've
Café Du
Monde
brand
yeah.
or something?
Yeah, they distribute
I
it.
I want to get that.
Yeah, because when my grandmother was still alive, she really liked chicory coffee. And so
it's great. I
anytime
like it.
We went to New Orleans, we would go and get her some chicory coffee. And then one day, it was just like in the local supermarket there. And we were like,
who
what
knew?
Is happening here?
Yeah.
That was it.
You have that with a lot of milk.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cream.
Yeah. Just how I
Sorry,
like coffee.
I, just, I need one
yeah.
right now.
Well, you've been working like 500-hour days.
Oh, my God.
Brent's been working for more hours than there are in the day.
Yes.
It's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you could find your house after all of this. Like,
it was rough.
It's been crazy.
Yeah.
In any case, that's the news. Check out my piece on HuffPo.
Yes.
Wish
me a happy birthday.
Wish Brent a happy birthday. And don't get scared if we're not here next week. We will be posting on Facebook and Twitter and such. But we will be gone for a week, and then we'll be back. And then you'll hear all about Brent's trip.
Maybe I'll post some Hawaii pictures.
Yeah, do it.
Just because. They won't have anything to do with anything.
No, just you're a person who does a podcast. You'll be in Hawaii. That's the connection.
That's it.
So in any case, be good while we're gone.
Yes.
Don't do anything stupid.
Nope.
And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.